And the Blue Jays and the Yankees will have the first pitch of the season. They are the first game to go at 11:05. Eno Saris joins us, MLB writer with The Athletic. And, Eno, a lot of people I see have the Yankees. Their team's pretty deep. We know anything can happen, but they're the clear favorites in the AL East. Where do you see the Blue Jays when you look at their roster? They obviously went in big with Springer and some other free agents. Where do you see the Jays at?
I kind of see the Blue Jays as where the Padres and White Sox were last year. You know, they're getting it together. They've got an exciting young core of batters. You know, I kind of see them a little bit, you know, like pre-Snell, Blake Snell trade for the Padres. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop when it comes to the pitching side. Because I love Ryu, and I think there's some promise coming with Nate Pearson and Thomas Hatch and Julian Merriweather, Simeon Woods Richardson. Those guys are fun. But only, you know, history tells us only one or so of those will turn out to be a quality major league starter. So there's still, I think there's still a little bit of work to do in the rotation. That's what separates them from the top of the division.
What about their bats? Do they boast a lineup of bats that's as strong as really anyone in the American League?
Yeah, yeah. They're projected to score either the most or second most runs in baseball. And I really like that Marcus Semien deal because I feel like it was championship depth. It was a little bit like the DJ LeMahieu deal for the Yankees a couple of years ago where people said, why did you sign this guy? You have enough. You have enough lineup without him. And yet Marcus Semien is, in a way, George Springer coverage, you know? They're able to move guys around and cover everybody because they have, you know, people like Biggio and Semien that can play in different places on the diamond. So, yeah, that lineup is really has a few peers.
Yeah, they definitely do. Now, this season in baseball, of course, you know, they played last year, abbreviated season due to the pandemic. You know, we've talked to some of the NHL players, and, you know, it's a grind for them because, you know, they got pretty strict rules on what you can't do on the road. And baseball, they play every day, but so maybe it's a little bit easier for them because they're playing every day. They don't have a ton of off days. But how do you think, you know, in a long season, especially for some of the teams that don't have a chance, how, like, are we going to see a clear separation between the haves and the have-nots early this year?
You know, last year ended up pretty chalk. You know, the Dodgers won. They were either the best or second-best team going in. It was funny because we had these long playoffs, and players did complain, saying to me and for one of my pieces, a player said that the games had the intensity of a spring training B game. So there was a problem. Even when I went to the park, I was like, this is lacking something. And that something is like the roar of the crowd and the intensity they bring. So I actually have a slightly different opinion, which is that the crowd makes underdogs happen. You know, my dad has been betting on football, college football forever, and he said home dogs in college football have always been a decent bet. And it has to do with how the refs referee the game, but it has to do with the fans, these kids playing at home just getting pumped up by the situation. And so I think that there might be a little chance for a team like the Jays or the Padres, somebody, or the White Sox, somebody with some momentum, and at the end of the season, at least fans in the stadium that can drive them to kind of newer heights, like to great, you know, displays of emotion and just great baseball. So I'm hoping that the fans bring a little element of chaos to the thing.
The Yankees got a pretty good team as well, and that's someone that the Blue Jays are going to have to compete with. But, you know, Giancarlo Stanton hasn't played many games the last year or two. You know, how big of an issue is this for them, the Yankees, you know, his health and who could replace his bat in the lineup?
They have built in some of the same depth that the Blue Jays have, where if he's down, Mike Tauchman is a pretty good fourth outfielder. But, you know, some of that depth has eroded. You know, they lost Luke Voit, and their replacement is Jay Bruce, who was almost out of the game, I would say. So, you know, I do think they will take a hit when it comes to that. And then on top of that, you know, just the thing that's going to affect everybody is that even horses last year, even someone like Garrett Cole only threw 60 innings. So there may be some hiccup when it comes to translating Garrett Cole's 60 innings to trying to get 200 out of this year. And the Yankees, you know, in the starting rotation, have a couple guys that didn't pitch at all last year in Corey Kluber and Jameson Taillon. So they're betting on some guys to do something they haven't done in a couple of years. That's a common problem, though.
Yeah, no, that was going to be my next question is the, you know, because I know, like, arms, especially for pitchers, are massively important. And, you know, we see lots of injuries. And I just wondered if there was any studies or any data you'd looked at that suggests that that might be, you know, a problem for anybody who plays fantasy baseball. You might want to be leery of that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that there is not a lot of science behind it. In the past, I had a team, an analyst tell me, and this is a guy who works the numbers, he said, we would look at what the guy did last year. Okay, he threw 120 innings. We didn't sit him down for injury. His arm looks okay. Let's add 20%. They would just sort of pull that number out of a hat and just be like, okay, he's going to throw another 20 innings this year, and that's it. And they didn't actually have much science behind it. The new science is all about building up stamina, and the way that they'll do it is by just watching everything about you. The best teams will gather data from you every moment of every day so that they know how your heartbeat is, how, like, you know, if your arm slot has slipped 1 inch, if your spin rate has dropped 50 RPM. They'll be watching everything they can, and those markers are markers before injury. So what I think you'll see is a lot of preventative sit-downs where they don't necessarily have a hard cap on anybody, but they're saying, whoa, Garrett Cole's RPM dropped 50 in the last bullpen session. We are skipping the next start. And so that's why it's going to be really important to go 6, 7, 8, 9 pitchers deep in the starting rotation. That's where I think the Yankees, in a way, are set up. I mean, they have Davey Garcia, Clark Schmidt. They have some young arms there that are ready to go. That's what might separate them from the Blue Jays.
I love they're talking about the pitching staff in Atlanta. They made some moves this offseason for their pitching staff. Are they a sneaky good pitching staff? That classic Atlanta Braves pitching staff.
Well, yeah, I mean, Max Fried, Ian Anderson, Mike Soroka is a really cool trio, and I grew up in Atlanta, so you know, there are some things that you might have in common. Soroka has great command, like Maddox. Max Fried has a great baking ball like that Steve Avery used to have back in the day. The thing that's kind of cool about what they're doing is they took two guys that pitched all right in the postseason last year, Kyle Wright and Bryce Wilson, and they pushed them out of the rotation with some veteran signings in Charlie Morton and Drew Smyly. So they know ahead of time they are going to sit some of these veterans, and they're going to bring those young guys back in. They're going to, you know, just hope to get there with seven guys. I think some of this, in terms of playoffs, will be determined which 3 to 5 guys are healthy when the season ends.
Enos Aras joins us. Enos, something I'll be watching closely is in Major League Baseball. You know, the rule changes, they did implement this year what they did last year. Doubleheaders are going to be 70 innings each, and also extra innings are going to start with a runner on. That's what they did in COVID, and that's what they'll do again. But it's Triple A and Double A. There's two rules I'm very curious about. Number one, the size of the bases in Triple A are going to go from 15 by 15 to 18 by 18 in the hopes of, you know, it's slightly shorter distance between bases, higher success rate on stolen bases, and potentially more infield hits on grounders and bunts. And then in Double A, they're going to look at limit shifting in the way teams can position their infielders, and they might resort to having two guys on each side of the base or second base, like, you know, it's always been. What's your expectation of those two rule changes, and do you think, like, could they be implemented mid-season if they have success, or is this something that would only happen next year?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it'll be a slower thing that happens at the beginning of the season. You'll want to implement it in spring training so that all the major league veterans have a chance to see what it's like. Plus, sometimes you'll even want to implement it in another minor league division just to see it in another context, in other stadiums. For example, robot umpires, however you feel about them, they're on the way because they tried them in the Arizona Fall League. They tried them in short leagues. Now it's all the way up to high A. So they're basically, there's a group of young players that's coming up with robot umpires and just getting used to that. And when they Wow. get to the big leagues, they'll probably bring robot umpires with them. So, you know, I think that I have some pluses and minuses. That one I'm not 100% on, but if the tech is there, it does allow us to be more precise about balls and strikes, which is a really important thing. I love the big bases. It's a really small change that could have some effect. Shifts, people say, won't that just incentivize people to pull the ball even more? The problem is we've had shifts for a really long time, and people pull the ball a lot. And the reason they pull the ball a lot anyway is because pull power is where home runs live. And so everybody wants home runs, so they're going to continue to pull the ball whether there's a shift or not. If we get rid of some of the shifting, we'll have some more singles. And I think singles are good for the game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Totally agree. Thanks for this. Quickly, are the Jays going to make the playoffs?
Ha. Yeah, you're going to put me on the line. How about this? Two wild cards from the American League East. Rays and Jays.
Rays and Jays. I like it. Awesome. Thanks, Eno. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks for having me.